This morning, our morning message is from the Gospel of Matthew. Tracy Lynn, where did my beloved Taylor get to? You forgot. Can't imagine. Tremendous offertory. This is Christ the King. What king do you know of that was born in a place like Bethlehem, laid in a manger? What other king comes from a manger? Whew. That to me this morning encourages my heart. So, the Gospel of Matthew, chapter number 1, we will read verses 18 through 25. We'll read them out loud together. And if you would, if you're physically able, would you stand with me? Grab your copy of God's good and great book. Grab that King James Bible you brought. Find Matthew chapter 1, verse number 18. Would you read with me down through verse number 25? We'll read these verses out loud together, and then I'll speak to you this morning on Christmas, virtue, and values. Matthew chapter number 1, verse number 18. Are you ready? Are you set? Let us read. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When as his mother, Mary, was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privily. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name. What a name it is this morning. That name, Jesus. Let's bow our heads. Let us have a word of prayer, Father. That is a wonderful story that we just read. My Father, I believe this morning that it's a true story. God, I pray this morning for you to be honored, for the love, joy, and peace of God to move in our midst, the Spirit of God to bring conviction. I pray, God, that you would work, bless, help, give grace, mercies, and peace, and love and joy in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may have a seat. Hiya, Tay-Tay. How about I'll be an old guy and sit down in a chair, and you can read what you found in the dictionary this morning. Can you read that, buddy? Here is a definition from Webster's Dictionary. Is it Webster's? Yeah, it is. Oh, right. Here you go. Tell them, hey, listen up.
Hey, listen up. Virtue means morally good behavior or character, a good more or disciple quality.
Try again.
A good moral or
desirable quality.
Desire quality, the good results that comes from something.
Good job, sir. That wasn't exactly easy to read, was it? What grade are you in? Third grade. All right. Christmas virtues and Christmas values. The events of the birth of Jesus, we know more about his birth. We know more about the events in his birth, more than any other human birth in history. I do not know this morning of a birth that's more celebrated in all of humanity than the birth of Jesus. Why? Billions around the globe will celebrate his birth. Nobody does that for Buddha. Billions around the globe will celebrate his birth. Nobody does that for Confucius. When's the last time somebody said to you, hey, did you get your Confucius presents yet? Thank you. That was kind of a polite laughter, but I appreciate it anyhow. Nobody globally celebrates the birth of Abraham. We know nothing of the birth of Muhammad. It's not celebrated. The birth of Jesus is celebrated this morning, and we know more about his birth and the events of his birth, and we know more about the events of his death than any other life that has been or ever will be lived. Why is that this morning? That is this morning because the birth of Jesus was supernatural. Matthew chapter 1, verse number 18. Would you look at that verse? She was found with child of the Holy Ghost. The birth of Jesus was supernatural. She was found with child of the Holy Ghost. The birth of Jesus and the events around the life of Jesus Christ and the events surrounding his death, we know more about that than any other person in sacred or secular history. Why is that this morning? Because, would you please look at verse number 21? His birth is not only supernatural, his birth is salvation. He shall save his people from their sins. I'm glad this morning that I have a Savior. That's why we know so much about his birth today, because his birth has saved millions, countless millions, from what they could have been or from what they were. I'm glad this morning his birth means salvation for this sinful world and for my sinful soul. We know more about the birth of Jesus of Nazareth than we do about the teachings of Buddha, Confucius, Muhammad, and Abraham. Their births are not celebrated. Why is that? Verse number 22, because his birth is scriptural. It is supernatural. It is salvation. His birth also, number three, is scriptural. It was predicted hundreds of years before that it took place, where it would take place, and the events surrounding it predicted hundreds of years. That, my friend, cannot be by accident or chance. That is, this morning, a scriptural birth. Verse number 23. We know more about the birth of Jesus of Nazareth and the events surrounding his birth than any other human birth in history, because his birth was not just the birth of another person. His birth was the birth of God. How does God enter the world? Well, a virgin shall bring forth a son. What? How does God enter the world? Where does God enter the world? How do you make your entry into the world if you're God? Well, with chariots and fire and, you know, smoke bombs and a big announcement written across the sky. And no, Bethlehem? Really? Bethlehem? A carpenter's family? Really? And some of your first guests are shepherds? No offense. Really? That's how God comes into the world? Yes, my friend. Because the birth of Jesus is not only sacred, it's very sublime. It's on my level. It's on your level. Now look, if you would please, at Mary. Note in that passage what a contrast Mary is to the other women whose names are found in that passage in the earlier part of the chapter. See, the Bible says this, my friend, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue. See, Mary is quite a contrast to Bathsheba. She's quite a contrast to Ruth. She is quite a contrast to the names of the ladies that are mentioned in there, such as Rahab and Tamar. She's quite a contrast because she is a woman of virtue. And virtue, my friend, is its own reward. Joseph is quite a contrast to the kings that are mentioned in that passage. Quite a contrast to them. See, Joseph had no power. Joseph had no wealth except the power and wealth of character. He was a man of virtue. Be a man of virtue this morning. Be a woman of virtue this morning. Virtue is its own reward. Add to your faith virtue. In that passage, you see two people, a husband and wife of virtue. Joseph is quite a contrast to the Harvey Weinsteins of the world. He's quite a contrast to the headlines and newsmakers of today, the Al Frankens, the Hugh Hefners. He's quite a contrast to the entertainers and athletes of this world today. He's just a carpenter, but he is a man of virtue. I say this morning, add to your faith Christmas virtue. Rarely has virtue looked as good, looked better than it does than today in the light of the scandals that we see sweeping the nation, the scandals that fill our headlines. See, my friend, any dead fish can float downstream. I say swim upstream against the current of debauchery and depravity in this generation. Have some Christmas virtue. Be a man and a woman. Be a person of virtue this morning. I was talking to a gentleman and he said to me, when I was a young man and a lady would walk by you on the street, you would tip your hat. Where did that go? Contrast that this morning with the Hugh Hefners of this world, the disciples of free love. Contrast the Hugh Hefners of this world with the respect that Joseph had for Mary. Besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue. See, they made fun of Mike Pence, didn't they? They made fun of our vice president, did they, because of his treatment of women. They said he's puritanical. They said that he's just a stick in the mud. He won't eat dinner alone with woman. Well, how's the opposite side of that working out today? How does the free love work out today for our culture? I say this morning, have some Christmas virtue. Add to your faith virtue. Well, you know what we've been told? We've been told we can't, as believers, you can't impose your morality on other people. So how's the other side working out for our culture this morning? Add to your faith virtue, I say. Well, Tina Turner, I've got an answer for your question. You know Tina Turner, don't you? No, don't answer that question. You know Tina Turner, don't you? What's love got to do with it? What's love but a second-hand emotion? Sorry, Lord. Who needs a heart when a heart can be broken? Sorry, Lord. Hey, I got the answer. Love's got everything to do with it this morning, my friend. Everything. Love is why Joseph didn't do what he planned to do, but instead took God's advice and treated Mary how God wanted Mary to be treated. Because love's got everything to do with it. What's love got everything this morning, Tina Turner. Everything. Charity is the head of all virtues. You see, if I love somebody, I treat them with respect, even if my falsetto is terrible. If I love somebody, I treasure them. Husbands, sir, I charge you this morning, sir, treasure that wife. Treasure her. She is your most great gift outside of salvation from the God of heaven. Tina, love's got everything to do with it. Add to your faith virtue. You see, if you don't like something, if I dislike someone, I don't treat them with respect. I treat them like a disposable item that's useful for the moment but discarded because it served its purpose. I'd like to wonder this morning out loud, who decided traditional values were no longer useful? That they shouldn't be taught to school children? I would like to know how we expect the next generation to catch virtue if we don't model it from them. Can I say this morning that our public officials are called to be servants today? They are called to be shepherds today. And if you study through the book of Jeremiah, you can see the great indictments that God had against the shepherds of Israel. It's not talking about the pastors or the religious leaders. It's also talking about the civil and civic leaders who were supposed to be shepherding and caring and loving the people of that nation and who failed miserably in their duty. How is the next generation supposed to catch virtue and be taught virtue without guidance from parents and public officials and teachers and pastors? The idea of being a virtue, and Christmas virtue, it means that people who pursue virtue, if you pursue virtue this morning, you get a layer of protection that keeps you from sins, that expose you to great shame. Add to your faith virtue. And we have seen from Washington to Hollywood to the cathedral in Altoona across town that hidden sin becomes public scandal. I say this morning, add to your faith virtue. By the way, my friend, the Independent Baptists got as many scandals swept under their rug as the cathedral across town. People who are faithful to their spouse in marriage. People who are honest in their financial dealings. People who have character in private and integrity in private. Those kind of Christmas values. This morning I say those people don't have to be as afraid of skeletons coming out of their closet. God honored the virtue of Joseph. And God honored the virtue of Mary. And my friend, I say this morning, if you would take your faith and make sure your faith had virtue added to it, God would honor your virtue. Here's a list of virtues that I would suggest to you this morning that have become scarce in our society. Self-discipline, responsibility, courage, honesty, loyalty, and faith in God. I say this morning, add to your faith virtue. Would anyone argue that those virtues have exceeded their expiration date? I told you about this Wednesday, but I'll tell you about it again because I think it kind of fits here. I went and was going to bring home dinner Wednesday night, or Tuesday night it was. I came home and I was going to make a relish tray. I love like those little pickles, those sweet gherkins, and I knew that in the fridge was this container of dip. But I went into the kitchen and I didn't even think how long has that stuff been in the fridge. So I went into the kitchen, started digging into that stuff. Kids came in, because as soon as you rattle a snack bag or chip bag. It's kind of like, now you could scream at the top of your lungs, it's dinner, it's dinner. Here's an easier way to do it. Just go in there, and all I have to do is rattle my cheese curl bag. Here they come, like a stampede. So the kids are all gathered around, and Tracy comes in and says, is that stuff still good? Nice. After we've all ingested it. Yes. Just take the container and do this. Give it the sniff test. Is it bad? Doesn't taste bad. Doesn't smell bad. Hey, can I tell you this morning? There's no expiration date on virtues like self-discipline, responsibility, courage, honesty, loyalty, faith. The loyalty that Joseph felt to Mary, the honesty and the courage that Mary possessed in her soul, those virtues have not exceeded their sell-by date in this society today. Now, here's the thing. We speak about virtues like they're something that you have. Like we talk about friends in the same fashion. I have so many friends. Friends aren't something that you have. Virtues aren't something that you have. Virtues are something that you are. It's something that's on the inside. It's not something that I possess. It's something that I'm made up of. It's what I am. We're witnessing and have witnessed for decades now the failure to instruct and discipline our children on how to live a virtuous life. See, if you penalize virtue and discourage virtue, you get less virtue. But my friend, the book of God says this morning, don't honor foolishness. Don't honor fools. Don't reward foolishness. Add to your faith virtue. So the question is, where can I get virtue? In closing, if you want virtue this morning, and I do, take your Bible, find the Gospel of Luke. In closing, I'll point you to this verse. In case there's something inside you that says, I want virtue. In case there's something inside you that says, I want to swim upstream. Where can I get virtue this morning? Luke's Gospel, chapter number 6, and verse number 19. I'll tell you this morning where I got virtue. I'll tell you where other multitudes of other people have also gotten virtue. And you can get virtue at the same place. Luke chapter 6 and verse number 19. The whole multitude sought to touch him. Imagine that. The whole multitude sought to touch him. Can you imagine the press of that great crowd? You see, they don't have the healthcare systems that we have today. If you didn't touch him, you'd die. Can you imagine the desperate press of people in Luke chapter 6 and verse number 19? The desperate press of people in Luke's gospel, the 6th chapter, verse number 19. The whole multitude just said, we've got to touch him. Why? Do you see the remainder of the verse? For there went what? Out of him. You see, this morning, virtue isn't something that you possess. Like, I have my phone, I have my car keys, which neither of one do I know where they're at right now. Virtue is something that you get from God inside you. It becomes part of your makeup. It becomes part of your identity. It becomes who you are. How do you get virtue this morning? Virtue comes from getting in touch with Jesus Christ. That's where you get it. That's where you get it this morning. You want virtue in your home? Get in touch with Christ. You want virtue in your marriage? Get in touch with Christ. You want virtue in your business dealings? Get in touch with Christ. You want virtue in your children's lives? You get in touch with Christ, and then you reach out and you grab onto their hand and you be the daysman that goes between. Virtue went out of him and healed them and healed them all. Hey, my friend, there's enough virtue this morning in Jesus of Nazareth to heal whatever sickness might be in your soul today. For me, it was addiction. For me, it was the drugs that dominated my life. But one day, my friend, I began reading this old book. One day, I humbled myself as a sinner and received Christ as my Savior. And March 28, 1981, there went virtue from him, out of him, and it came into me. You see, up until that time, I didn't care about right or wrong. I didn't care about any of that up to that time. Here's what I cared about: get high. But that virtue came from Christ and came from God, and it entered my heart and spirit. So now what do I care about? Pleasing God, living for God. Here, this book in my hand, my friend, this book right here is a source of virtue for you and the following generation. I was on Facebook for a little bit last night, and I saw some friends of mine from high school were on there. They had gone to one of the local bars in western Pennsylvania. And had drank a good portion of the night. I would have been there if I wasn't in jail, if I wasn't dead, except for the virtue that comes from this book. I'm simply saying this morning, my friend, you want values? God will put values down inside you. It's not something you wear on your head or on your hands. It's tattooed on you. It's something that is, it becomes part of you. It gets down inside you, and that's where you get virtue from. You know why I want to treat my wife with respect and love and dignity this morning? And not like some kind of possession? Here's why. Because if I would treat her wrong, it would ruin my relationship with him, and I wouldn't want to do that for all the world. You know why I want to be the best Christian I possibly can be? And I am not a good one at all, but here's why I want to do that. Because I don't want to do anything that would displease him, because if I displease him, I would lose all my virtue, because my virtue comes from my relationship with him. I admire the respect that Joseph had for Mary. I admire his immediate obedience. I admire the Christmas virtues. Now this morning, I know where you can get honesty. I know where you can get dignity. I know where you can get love. I know where you can get self-control, discipline. I know where you can get it. Same place those people in Luke 6 got it, from the presence of Christ. Here's what I say this morning: add to your faith virtue. Let's bow our heads. We'll have a prayer together. Father, I don't know what to say except that's really swimming upstream, Lord, in this generation. And God, few and far between our messages against sin. And reviled and hated are the people that say what I just said. Mocked, ridiculed, scorned, except virtue is its own reward. My master, I would be a person that loves thee with all my heart, that loves my wife and my kids with all my heart, that loves the unlovely, because you loved me like that. Now our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. Maybe God has spoken to your heart in the message. Maybe God has spoken to your heart in the music. But in just a moment, the music will play. If God has spoken to your heart, maybe you're here this morning and you're not a Christian, I urge you, come to the front when the music plays. Kneel and give your heart to Christ. Kneel, put your faith in God. Receive Christ as your Savior. I urge you this morning, if you're saved and not been baptized, come submit yourself for beautiful believer's baptism. When the music plays, I urge you this morning, come and kneel and say, God, more than anything, more than a king, more than being a man of power, more than being a man of wealth and position, I would rather be a carpenter with virtue than a king on a throne with a scepter and a palace and an army with wickedness. Would you this morning set out to be a person, a man, or a woman of virtue? God, please take those that have that godly virtue in them and multiply them. Now, if God has spoken to your heart, you do what the Spirit of God places upon your heart this morning. The music will play. Let's stand to our feet. Others are coming. You will not come alone. When did we decide? What study was performed by the government bureaucracy that determined that virtue and love and dignity and self-worth and self-discipline and respect, that it had gone out of use? Add to your faith virtue this morning.